Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Filth, do you like to laugh?
Mm-hmm. Not particularly. That's why I listen to Filthy Casuals.
Well, you guys aren't the filth. The listeners are at the filth.
What do you have to tell them, Ben?
Comedy festival's coming up here in Melbourne town, and all three of us are doing a show. Separate shows, but between
but only
the three
two
of
separate
us,
shows.
All yeah. three of us are doing two shows.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Who's on first, eh? Tommy, what's your show?
I believe Tommy's on first.
I think I'm on first.
Yeah.
My show is called Turtle Island.
Yeah.
It starts March the 30th. It's at the Cooper's Inn. You can get tickets from TommyDasilo.com. And I'm also coming back to Adelaide. I saw a few filth at the show I did there over the weekend.
Hell
it was
yeah.
sold out, so I put on an extra show March the 16th at 6:15 p.m. If you missed out on tickets to that first one, please come along to that in Adelaide, but then also in Melbourne, yeah, TommyDasilo.com.
That is about you getting taken hostage while on holiday in Fiji, which is one of the best log lines for a show you might
yep,
hear.
It's
so
it.
Very, very hooky.
And speaking of hostages, you'll be arrested by the comedy of Chimp Cop, who is the two of us and then two other people
yeah.
doing a sketch show that is no longer about a cop. It's about space. It's very funny, and that'll be in the Melbourne Comedy Festival from the 1st of April, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
Comedyfestival.com.au for tickets to that.
It's a sci-fi comedy. It's basically the alien and the thing mashed together, and then we do like a movie on stage.
Taking inspiration from movies is a pretty interesting way of coming up with creative comedic content. Hey, we've got another podcast called Hollywood Phonies that's in that very same vein.
Yep. Yeah.
It is a podcast where we take the fake movies that are in the background of real movies sometimes and we figure out what the movie would actually be. We kind of create like a treatment or a screenplay for it.
We go through the whole plot from beginning to end. Each episode, there's four up now.
Yep.
In season one. So far, we've done Angels with Filthy Souls from Home Alone. We've
yep.
done Sack Lunch from Seinfeld. And we got some of the other classic fake movies coming up.
Yes.
People loving it so far. And if you've been listening, thanks very much. But if you haven't, go check it out. Leave us a little review on your app of choice.
Yeah, Hollywood Phonies, Phonies. And it's at Phonies Podcast on Twitter and Instagram if you want to send us a suggestion for a fake movie you've seen in the background. We've already got a suggestion for a fake movie in the background of a show that is currently in production. One of the DMs that we've got is from someone
really
working on a show.
I didn't see that at all.
Yeah,
huh?
Very exciting.
I'm looking forward to doing Better Call Saul's background. I can't think of another fucking show that's in production other than one that's been made for 8 years or something now. Who cares? Here's an episode of Filthy Casuals. You can go listen to Hollywood Phonies on the podcast app that you like, or you can go to TommyDasilo.com for tickets to his show, or to comedyfestival.com.au for tickets to our show, Chimp Cop.
We do know that she has an affinity for the fantasy game called Dark Soul, which is a very dark, death-laden video game on PlayStation and other kind of video type things.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always,
Ben Vanel here, excited to talk about Horizon Forbidden West still. You know, it's a big open world game.
Yep.
It's a AAA game, and I'm sure that is the game on the tip of everyone's tongues this week in video games.
That's true.
You've been invaded by the spirit of Adam Knox.
Oh,
a fun little Elden Ring joke to begin my part of this episode.
What build are you?
I'm a strength.
Okay.
In real life.
You're a strength.
I can better people. I'm putting money into strength.
Yep.
And it is just money now,
yes.
I guess. Runes are like their coins.
Yes.
And they use swords for words.
Mm.
I'm playing Elden Ring.
Yeah.
You're
we
playing
all
Elden
have.
Ring too. Mm. Well, we could talk a little. Have you played more Horizon before last week?
No.
Okay.
Before
this week, I mean?
Genuinely have not. No.
I played a little bit more. I got up to a camp.
Oh, yeah.
I see what you mean. When we talked about it last week, I was right before like right, literally right at the bit where it goes, no, 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 this is actually what the story is and this is now what you're doing. And then I finally kind of got that freedom that I was yearning for.
Mm. Hey, if you're yearning for freedom, and I agree with you, Horizon opens up a fair bit more after where you guys are up to.
I'm not there yet,
Well, if you're yearning, though, for freedom.
Yes.
Horizon can fuck off.
Right.
Yeah,
in the interests of... The spirit of Elden Ring has invaded your world.
Okay.
That's what I thought you were doing.
I hope this voice comes across as me mocking that joke because it's mainly in the face I'm worried. And you know what? The microphone doesn't pick up any of how funny I think I am.
Right. Yeah. Not a lot of facial recognition going on for you, much like the character creator in the video game Elden Ring.
It is... I don't know where to start because I guess if we're starting with, we could start with the character creator.
Your game of the millennium, I think, is going to end up being the.
So we're going to talk about it now.
Let's do a real review as well. Let's set the stage. There are people I've been talking
to. Set the
stage
like in a real review.
There are people I've been talking to who've not even heard of Elden Ring, who are gamers, who are like, you know, Switch players and stuff, who. It's not across their radar yet. They've heard of Dark Souls.
They've been looking in Elden Ring places. It doesn't even sound like... Yes, it is. It is
The wrong places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been looking for love in Elden Ring places.
This is getting through this is more challenging than the fucking game, honestly.
I don't have any ability to talk because I've spent this week 40 hours playing Elden Ring.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question. What's your log time?
It's not 40 hours.
It's 38.
Oh, that's right. Your level is 70.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would have been fucked up if I'd have managed 70, but it's like 38 something hours.
I feel like when I hit 38 hours on my copy of it, I'll still be at the first boss.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of time will be spent with the game running in the background while you Google how to press X.
Yeah, that's it. That's
exactly not even how to kill the boss.
No.
How to press R1.
What do the sticks do? I'm too scared to touch them.
Yeah.
What
does PS stand for in PS5?
I've seen people saying like, I'm 20 hours in and I haven't fought the first boss. Not because... It's too hard necessarily, but because you don't have to. You can go and do a bunch of other shit.
So this is the thing I want to get out of the way quickly. It's a game that people are worried about spoilers with because like so much of the game is discovery of stuff.
Yep.
We're not going to spoil any like big moments or big things that are more fun for you to discover yourself.
Yeah.
So
hey, brother, in my case, I can't spoil him because I haven't fucking discovered him yet.
Guess what? There's a second boss. Sorry about spoilers for you.
I'll give you some spoilers for the title screen and the you died text. I can describe every pixel of that to you if you want in a little sealed section at the end of the app.
But this is separate from the Dark Souls series in terms of world, lore, story. It's all brand new. Written by George R.R. Martin?
Basically nothing was written by him. He came in early for world building consultation. But all the writing in this is basically Miyazaki again, who is the guy who's written the stuff for all of the other Souls games.
Right. Seems crazy to bother getting someone like George R.R. Martin in for. It seems like an incredibly, we need help coming up with a fantasy world. Something that's been depicted in countless thousands, hundreds of thousands of popular
One
games.
1 million.
Okay, I thought that was too crazy to go to, but I'll go there.
I reckon 1 million.
One million books.
Also, in the previous games made by this company,
which is extremely similar to in terms of tone and writing, and even what's going on in the story and stuff like that.
Because I've tried to play Demon's Souls, the PS5 one, a few times, and if you told me they were set in the same world, I'd believe you. You know, they do feel very similar.
They got the same sort of gothic look and all of that kind of thing, but it is a new kind of world that just sort of isn't burdened with the shackles of how weird they made all that story over the course of the three Dark Souls games. But this is essentially Dark Souls 4.
So it's a new it's a new thing. It's a new kind of IP for them. But it is, other than the fact that it's now open world, it is the same game.
Yeah.
The people that have been playing these over all the course of the Dark Souls games and all the other ones they've made are right in, and I get the impression that it just feels like it's absolute muscle memory, right? It's all mechanically, it's all completely the same as all the rest of these games.
Pretty much all the same stuff is going on in terms of your movement and the controls and all of that. It is absolutely. It's running in like the same engine, I'm pretty sure, that Dark Souls 3 ran in as well.
Oh, so
right. It's like the same sort of thing.
There is some quality of life stuff though, right? Like jumping.
Jumping is, well, you could always jump in the other ones, but you had to sprint at an edge and then press the dodge button right before you got there to jump.
That's right.
I guess if you're making an open world thing where there is much more potential to kind of... Because what I've played of Demon's Souls, it seems like it's those environments that they're very like on rails. They're very like controlled and contained.
Yeah.
And if you've all of a sudden got a sprawling expanse where people can kind of go off in whatever direction they want... You got to give them a jump.
Yeah.
You can't control that. You
and
gotta give
it's
them
been
jump.
Worked into the combat too, where you right. can jump yeah. over lower sword swipes and stuff like that.
And yeah, right. jump tool. Slashes do more damage to like poise, which is something that has been like carried over from Sekiro unofficially. Like in Sekiro, I think you could see the meter, right? Of like breaking an enemy's... I forget what it was called in that.
You stagger them.
Yeah. With,
I don't remember what it was called in Sekiro, but it was in the Dark Souls games before that too.
Okay, like, yeah, right.
It's all the same stuff, the same stats, all of that sort of stuff. If you've played Dark Souls and enjoyed it, you already have this game and my words are wasted on you.
Right,
right.
But it is, if you've played Dark Souls and haven't enjoyed it, that's maybe the more interesting conversation
yes.
that a lot of people are having very heatedly at the moment that yes. we will have later on.
It's a hot day today, you're right.
It's a warm-ass day.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think warm is the only way that a temperature should ever be.
Okay.
And if you change the temperature from warm to cold, you're a fucking dumb cunt.
You mean...
If you like let anyone be cold on? During what I think should be a hot day,
right.
fuck you.
Yeah, it's the sweat that makes you feel alive.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be comfortable.
You're missing the
no,
point of a
exactly.
hot day.
Exactly.
You just don't get the same enjoyment. If you just sit there in the aircon,
exactly.
you're not getting the full hot day experience.
Even
right.
if you're
walk around
indoors.
And have a stroke.
You won't appreciate the beach if you don't have to sweat on the way there.
Right.
If you're somewhere other than me and I don't have to go anywhere near you
yes.
and you're cold, but I want to be hot, which we both can be.
Right.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Wait, That seems kind of arbitrary and
just
mean.
No, no, no. This is my way of thinking and I'm the main character. So that's the way that it has to be for everyone.
We'll get into all that stuff later. But like, let's...
I don't think we need to, quite frankly.
Well,
I think we've done it.
There's, yeah.
I didn't even clock what we were doing until halfway through.
I noticed that. You had the little blank stare for a bit.
Yeah,
then,
yeah. It's yeah. almost like my brain has been completely destroyed by something I've been doing this week that purports to be a leisure activity. But in fact, is...
Enough about the Little Dum Dum Club.
Woo!
Oh, yes. Nearly stumbled over my words there. I was rushing so hard to get it out.
See, now this is fun.
Yes.
This
yes.
I'm enjoying.
So, the game itself is very much Dark Souls. If you've never played Dark Souls...
Right.
It is...
Hey, I've never played Dark Souls.
Okay.
Right.
This is an action game.
Yep.
It is a kind of role-playing action game, but mainly an action game in the style of a third-person kind of slashery thing along the lines of, I mean, other than like all the other games that play like Dark Souls because they came out after those games got
right,
big.
Right.
But if you've never played them, along the lines of like, I guess a Devil May Cry-ish kind of thing, but slower,
right.
like a demanding action game.
Yeah,
yes.
okay.
And if you, yeah, you probably have played... If you're a gamer like me who likes third-person action games, Star Wars Fallen Order.
Yes, that is...
That is the one that is... It's post-Dark Souls, but
it is pretty much... a recent Souls-like-ish kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or if you're older, Castlevania. This is Castlevania.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
This is that. This is what all video games would look like if somehow Castlevania 1 through 3 were the only games that had ever been
right.
made.
Yeah.
All video games have the same three hosts.
Castlevania 1,
2,
three. And
3.
But you're right. It is well, the Dark Souls games and the other ones that I have played are Metroidvania games, essentially.
Yeah.
They're 3D Metroidvanias.
Mm. And they are, to my mind, difficult in the same way as those original ones where it's like, yes, you have a hard task here and some not necessarily intuitive immediately controls. You have to adjust to the controls.
Mm-hmm.
You have to adjust to what the game is asking of you. Learn from it and then overcome it. And that's the loop of this game, is being presented with something that's like, fuck off, no way, what are you talking about? Right. This is broken, fuck you. And then half an hour later being like, I'm the king. I'm the greatest person who's ever held a little piece of plastic and smashed buttons on until my fingers got sore.
I'm getting now, back into the Reddit thread, and I'm fucking teeing off on anyone who's in the position that I was in 8 minutes ago.
Certainly more difficult when you are constrained to linear levels, though. I've certainly found in playing something like Demon's Souls, which even you could go to different levels from a hub pretty early on, it's a one track that ends up branching and you loop around and stuff, but it is like, well, if you can't get past these like zombies on these ledges that you need to like platform around and it's not great controls, then you're just stuck.
Right.
Weirdly, I find that a bit easier because in this you have the option of, you can go away, but
so
then
that I maybe just to more broadly say what we're talking about If you don't know, this is now an open world game.
Yes.
In a very non Ubisoft-y markers on the map kind of style. It's a lot more like Breath of the Wild, where it'll have physical objects in the distance where you're like, fuck, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And you go over there and you're like, oh, it's another boss. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, and yeah, like very rarely a little person will be like, hey, I've lost my hat.
Yeah.
And that's all they'll say.
I'm the British actor with the strangest voice they could find.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
my hat.
So, yeah, you have like sort of questy stuff in the open world, but again, it's not like getting logged in anything. They'll tell you,
very, very vague.
Look for this. It's sort of there. And if you do it, they might not be there when you get back and they've moved somewhere else in the map.
Right.
Nothing tells you where. You've got to very, I think, organically figure it out, but very happy to hear the argument of like blindly, confusingly figure it out too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do. Yes, there's so something for like not having the option of leaving that in a weird way makes it easier because it's like, this is what it is. If I want to keep going with this, I just have to do this thing right now.
I know
now.
The goal.
Yeah, but there's something about like, oh, I can just go away and do other stuff. But especially in an open world thing, and especially when you're early on in it, it's like that's very overwhelming a little bit. So it's like, yeah, my option is to just try and make it through this or go off and do something else. But I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know. I do.
You don't know why you want to do something else.
Yeah, or where I would go or like what's going to be waiting there for me. And I know that's kind of part of it. I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying I did find the very linear nature of Demon's Souls made it slightly easier for the bit of it that I played. For me personally, anyway.
That makes sense, or at least like easy to keep track of, certainly, because
this
is an overwhelming and unfathomably, like, not unfathomably, it's of a certain size, but it is an unusually...
There's some developers fathomed it.
Yeah.
But they built it in such a way where you can't fathom it early. The whole scale of like how they've made a very large game.
Yes.
And in both the way of like, you know, landmass or whatever, but also just there's fucking bits and pieces everywhere and they're not obvious, so much less so than a Breath of the Wild even, which the fun part of that was stumbling across these things that you had no idea were there.
Yep.
And this is that again, some of them being a little more similar to each other than maybe is fun all of the time. But
a few of the catacombs, similar.
They got a pretty like modular look to them.
Right, yeah.
Some of those things.
That was true of Breath of the Wild with the shrines.
That's
there
true.
There were some great ones in there, and then there were some that were just like, hey, put this ball over there.
And
that's true.
That's puzzle 250.
Yeah. And at least in this, they've got the enemy variety cranked way up from what that was.
Yes, true. This does feel like the first open world thing where post Breath of the Wild, people went, oh, this has changed not only Zelda, but it's changed the kind of open world thing.
Right.
And we haven't really seen anything that's actually kind of built on. I think this is the first thing that's come along that's actually built on it that you can tell has taken. And it's come out nearly 5 years to the day. But yeah, missed it by about 4 days or a week, sorry.
Yeah,
being
fucking idiots.
5 years
delay it.
being 5 years to the day that Breath of the Wild came out.
Right.
But it is great to see those principles actually put into something that elevates it and puts it into its own 100%. Context. And right down to the, and it, you know, I've seen a very limited amount of the map, but the environment design and those principles that they talked about in that game where every view that you have is a triangle where you can always see three little things that you could go off and walk at. We've seen plenty of open world games come out in the last 5 years that haven't really seemed like they've followed that principle at all. And this really seems like it does. It's got that very like organic feeling world design where it does all feel like nature created it. And it does all feel like you're stumbling across stuff and you forget in the moment, no, a person, a group of people sat down and really, you know, thought about how this should all play out.
Yeah. 100% because like the thing that this does that like there have been lots of open world games since Breath of the Wild and a lot of them have been great. But this is, I agree with you, the first one since then that has done the thing of not pointing you in a direction.
Not
of letting
markers.
You actually intuit it and figure it out. Because you do need to be forced to do it to actually go and do it. Like people saying, well, put the markers in as an option. I do get the argument against that because it's like, well, if they're there, then it destroys it.
Yeah.
If you can do it, then you will. People always try and take the path.
If you get frustrated at one point, you will be like, oh, fuck, I'll just turn them on.
Path of least resistance is what people do. We're like water. Yeah.
Yes.
But it's the difference in the philosophy being that the open world game is about the open world. It's about the map. And those other ones, the open world game is about a list. It's about checking things off.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the difference. That's the big thing that I think they've taken away from Breath of the Wild that a lot of other things didn't. It was still just like, oh, yeah, you have this great nature and you have maybe things to climb, but it still ultimately does boil down to checking, you know, and you can still fast travel, so you're maybe not even exploring the map all that much. But, in these games, you are rewarded for still spending the time to go and just walk around as much as you can.
And genuine, like, directionless exploration, which ends up being fun because at the end of it, maybe it's not the best reward in the world all of the time, but you will get something out of it.
Yes.
And they also have the benefit of each of the Souls games before this, even though they were more linear, they had that same philosophy in mind just on a smaller scale where you could kind of go in a bunch of different directions or you had to sort of figure your way through a weird maze. And it wasn't even a traditional maze as in, look, do you go left or right? You know, the old regular mazes you used to get, it's like one of two. It'd be like, you've got to walk on the weird support beams on this fucking castle.
Exactly.
So,
and also, if you see a like doorway in that wall that leads outside the castle briefly, oh, there's a platform. Oh, that's inviting. Oh, there's an enemy there.
Yeah. They've got really good level designers, have had for ages, and they've been able to apply that to this enormous scale really effectively because then you still go through the game. In, you know, you get some direction and literally you will be pointed in the right direction by your bonfires or the sites of grace.
These little checkpoints that you find that are always going to give you a bit of light shoots out of them and sort of like in a vague, roughly head in this direction. Then I think that's relayed to your little compass up the top of the screen, right? The little navigator thing?
No, the only thing you tend to get on there is where your souls are from when you die.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
but even that is like, that's the most that they give you in terms of you know, a waypoint or like a marker or anything like that is traditionally in an open world game.
And people telling you once, hey, go up to this place.
Yeah.
And like probably write it down or you'll forget it type of thing.
Because I always, you know, most of those, most open world games now, they have an option to turn all that stuff off. They have like an organic, like, hey, just, you know, Horizon, I think, asks you when you're booting it up, like how you want to play it.
But then it doesn't even agree by its own rules because it's like,
Yeah, I always feel like that would be the more naturalistic, interesting way to play it. But then I think knowing that the option's there, it's just like, I'm just going to end up going around in circles. And like, you are then presented with stuff where it's like, you just would never find this unless there was like the marker going like, it's here in the cave, actually.
Yeah.
Where that person's hiding.
When you're building it, you're not like, they are building this knowing they have to nudge people in a direction by having this hill slope down a little bit to the left or by having a torch somewhere that shows you where something is. But
that's the smartest thing about it is, there's like a vague line that only goes for about 2 meters.
Yeah.
But then when you look that way, it's like, oh, there's a castle on top of the hill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can see what it's suggesting to you. Whereas if you are relying on players having the ability to put those marks up, like Horizon, like Assassin's Creed, whatever.
Yep.
You design it like it's needed because I've turned those things off in those games before and you can't intuit your way around the same way.
They're a nice option for people who really, really just want to, happy to just spend hours walking around. But yes, the actual quests haven't been designed with that kind of intuition in mind. And I'm just preempting that I'm going to later on contradict what I'm saying here because I think that, there shouldn't be the option to have little waypoint markers and stuff turned on in this game. I think that, like, that's part of the beauty of it is you figure it out yourself and you do it on the terms that the game is asking you to do it on. I do think it should have an easy mode, though.
Sure. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And it's it's a conversation that happens every time one of these games comes out. And, like, the same sort of points go back and forth of people going, like, I don't want it. Well, I do. Well, then it's not for you. Well, why not? And,
I'm just trying to get in front of it by, in one hand, I'm going, like, yeah, this is a great design principle. And I don't think it should be changed for whatever reason. But I am going to contradict that about another aspect of the game.
Fair enough.
Later on.
How about we go... I am someone who have really struggled with From games. Like, I wanted to enjoy Bloodborne.
Yeah, true.
And I couldn't make it further than the first area. Like, literally.
Mm.
Tried Demon's Souls. Beat the first boss, I think, in, the first castle. Got to the Tower Knight boss and was like, this is literally impossible.
Okay.
You know, and that's how far I got there. Sekiro, I got a bit further, but again, got stuck on a boss. I think the first boss, the horseman guy, was like,
Yeah,
I've tried this like literally 70 times and my reaction time is not good enough. And then, so going into Elden Ring, I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to buy this. This is not going to be enjoyable. I don't want to just have a negative opinion on the pod.
You were saying it out loud to yourself in line at JB Hi-Fi.
I was. Everyone was looking at me.
Yeah.
That would make a great little JB doodle. You know, like how they have all the cartoons that they put next to the game.
Yeah, just fake reviews and stuff.
Am I even going to enjoy this?
Yeah.
It's going to be too hard for me.
And so I got it because it's the biggest game in the world. It's getting perfect tens. And fuck me if the start of it wasn't really hard. I struggled with getting out of the little tutorial bit and there being this giant guy on a horse and just being like, he keeps fucking killing me.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do here? This guy just keeps killing me. And then eventually just being like, oh, okay, I'll just walk around. Even though my instinct was like, no, this is the first enemy in the game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to not beat it. That would be a coward's way out.
But that's the thing. The game is trying to teach you, and it is an asshole way of teaching you. It's like the fucking, the old teacher in a kung fu movie who keeps whacking your fucking hand every time you karate chop wrong.
It's letting your
kid... Yeah, it's a kung fu movie, but it's about karate. The movie was made in the 80s. They didn't give a fuck back then.
Yeah.
It's letting your kid reach out towards a fire once so they know a fire is hot.
Yeah.
I didn't have that experience. I went right around that guy first time. And just went, got up to the next side of grace and just completely avoided him. But then the big kind of troll thing that leaps down, that took me ages. And that's not even a boss. That's just a...
Yeah.
It will eventually try to sort of funnel you towards certain points.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But especially the first big boss who everyone has been posting about and is difficult. It's called Margit.
Yep.
And it's like a kind of a gate. And there's been one of these in every, like the Tower Knight is one in Demon's Souls.
Right.
There's always some boss that is like this jump in what the game expects of you. And people, I was looking at the trophies last night and 53% of people have killed him.
Huh. Right.
Who have played the game.
Right.
So one in two people basically is going,
47, baby. I'm a hipster.
You're in the silent majority. No. You'd just be a quiet minority. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Which is how you like them. eventually, I went around it.
Yeah.
And I got to the first easy, normal level, right? Area, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is, that first side of grace. And then beyond that, there are just a bunch of soldiers walking around.
You're walking up a hill.
And honestly, I just did that a bunch of times. Went back, banked the runes, slowly got better, like very slowly, it felt like. Got better at the combat.
Yeah.
Figured out like the time, like really it's all about timing. It's okay, you just don't keep hitting, attacks. You don't keep swinging your sword.
Absolutely not.
Because they'll hit you back, after three and then you'll still be winding up for a fourth and then they'll kill, it's learning that, learning to dodge, learning to use shields. Like it's not like, I don't know, what is a similar sort of... It's not like Skyrim even. You don't just bash attack until something dies.
Well, you don't have this health bar that's like you can't afford to play it recklessly.
Right.
And I think that is something that ultimately does funnel into my enjoyment of it a bit. Because, there are certain games where I've been cranking the difficulty down because I haven't been finding, the challenge of the game overwhelming. I haven't been... dying too much. Horizon's a good example, right?
Mm.
Like I wasn't dying too often. I was just finding that these these bits of combat were taking me a little bit to get through. And I was like, you know what? I want to be a fucking badass in this game as the default. That's what the character's meant to be. I would be having more fun with this if I was coming through and just really owning people, especially in this early phase of the game.
When you say,
I cranked it down to make it more like, it felt more immersive.
That
to
is generally how most games are designed, right? They do ease you in.
Yeah.
Enemies are really easy at the start of the game, like Skyrim or something like that. You're fighting against crabs and rats. You know, that is how you level up and learn how to use the mechanics.
But in this, you have at the beginning, what, you can take four, five? Very, very. You can't really. You just cannot run in and be like, I'm just going to be a fucking dickhead here.
To be clear as well, if you've never played these games, that will stay the same way the whole way through.
Yes.
If you go back to an older area, then yeah, you'll be tough compared to the, the. But it will be at the same level of challenge, basically, probably increasing throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
And also,
you're not able to make it easy.
With that, with the like amount of hits you can take, I think I would call this an RPG because it's entirely stat based. Like this, it reminds me of like Dungeons and Dragons, like to the point of like, yeah, you can't hold some weapons if you don't have enough strength.
Right. Yeah.
You will be able to take less hits if you have less vigor, vitality. You know, that whatever that usually is. Yeah. You'll be dealing more damage if you have more strength. But if you want to have bows and arrows, you need dexterity. And if you want to cast spells, you need intelligence. Like, and so, yeah, I started off in that area taking like two hits and dying, basically.
I did basically what you did, but a bit earlier. So I was up to that little troll guy and then just was like reading a bit more about how it all kind of works because it sort of doesn't tell you a lot at the start of it. I think this is harkens back to, you always talk about this, Adam, with the early ones of these games. They were designed for there to be discussion about it.
Right.
In terms of like little tips and tricks and
whatever
else.
And for you to kind of figure it out yourself. Yes. Yeah.
And so I went to that little area that's just near that bridge and would just, clean out those guys.
Yeah.
Build up the runes. Because every time you visit a site of grace, all the enemies reset. So you can just kind of like farm for these runes that then allow you to increase these. You choose your attribute, your health, your strength, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I kind of did that a few times, beat him, and then got up the next kind of like you go through maybe, I guess, three areas that are just these dudes with swords that are, again, laid out very methodically in a way that you can approach them. It's almost like a little puzzle of working out where they all are. Okay, I'll come around here, I'll take this guy out.
Because you can be sort of stealthy in this one.
Yeah.
Yes.
You learn as you go, and I found that really satisfying. And then I was all in, and I guess I probably would have liked a little bit more of. I know this is like on me. I can go back and just do more of that now if I want. But then getting up to a boss, and I've just never loved boss fights in general. So really feeling like I was in the swing of it, and like, oh, this is fun. It's like stalking around these little guys, and it's pretty challenging taking them on as a group. But you just kind of work out how to do it, and then just getting my fucking clock cleaned by this first boss again and again and again.
Also had that happen to me. So I think, I got my head around it a little bit later than you. But then, got to the point where I was sort of tooling around. I'd got to the boss and was like, no, absolutely not. And so went off.
Oh, hell no.
And that's, you can see that that's what they're intending with this boss. It's such a jump compared to even
so
the other
hard,
games.
It's
so
hard.
That they want you to be kind of encouraged to walk off and explore that part of the map.
And so I think actually before I even went up to the boss, I couldn't get past the giant initially. So I went and just explored down to this, you know, to the west of where you start. I was like, oh, there's a little cavern. Went in there and there's heaps of these. They are somewhat similarly designed, but they're little mini dungeons.
Yeah.
And by the end of this one, there was a boss, like a boss. Like go through the mist and there's this boss. Optional. It's obviously not a story boss. And I just kept fighting it until I beat it. Like, it probably took me 30 or 40 goes, but I just slowly got better at that step up of the combat as well.
Yeah.
Of the, oh, no, you need to have enough stamina to block with your shield, but sometimes it's just better to dodge because of how they time their attacks. Oh, they breathe fire. That's actually a good time to go around. Like, you know, you just, I just built up that sort of knowledge by doing this boss, which I assumed was an easier one, and I think it is based on what I've done so far.
And that's playing the first time you click with a Souls game. That is how it works, is that I think like a comparison I would make in terms of like, because the reason this is again important to talk about is because I think these games have for so long had such a big ravenous sort of group of people who love them, but then have always been so putting offable.
Yeah.
You know. Putting offable.
Putting offable.
They put people off.
Standoffish?
Yeah. Standoffish?
No, the what's the word?
Unapproachable.
Yeah.
For lots of people. And I think it is figuring out the rhythms like that, because I take for granted that like you get whacked, your stamina goes down, you let go of the shield so it builds back up, and then you have to be shielding again by the time they do it again. Mm-hmm. Or even better, you're invincible for a second while you dodge, so you dodge through stuff, da-da-da.
Yes, yeah.
But that is because I started playing Elden Ring at hour 300 of playing Souls games or whatever. So it kind of is like... It is those controls and those rhythms that does it.
Yeah.
And that is why people are so adamant that they don't want it to change, because it's like learning to fly like an A-10 Warthog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some kind of complicated plane. And like when you first get in there, you're like, this is fucking stupid. No one can fly this.
Yeah. How could you press three dials at the same time and look out the window?
Yeah. What does Roger mean?
Yeah.
Who's that? But then once you figure it out, you're like, I'm a god.
Yeah.
I hold life in my hands and I will take it from these people.
Yeah.
But like once you're in, it works perfectly.
Because now I don't think this is a hard game.
Right.
I don't think it's hard at all anymore.
It's like it'll get challenging again, especially at the bosses.
Sure, absolutely. And like I've got to a boss now where, yeah, it's like taken me out, not quickly, but it's taken me out. You know, and I've only got it down to about half health.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken me out a few times. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll go ranged. Maybe I'll summon a different, you know, helper. Like, I'm starting to think more about it.
Exactly.
And when I beat it, it will take a lot of focus. You can't switch off, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I was, doing it this morning, and I was like, oh, I reckon if I come back with 99 arrows and I just can have the patience to dodge away, shoot an arrow, and just do that until it's dead. You could do it. Then it'll be dead. But the issue that I think I had, and a lot of people have with the combat, is you have to be really patient.
Yeah, you have to build up a literal physical skill.
Yes.
It's like, or skateboarding or whatever, you know, flying an A-10 Warthog is the least relatable, but like, it's skateboarding. You fall and fall, and you're like, why would I bother doing this? My elbows hurt. I look like an idiot. Bam Margera is kicking me in the balls. And then at some point you get it and you're like, oh, this is magic and it's the best thing that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You click in that thing where it's like, no, you push down with the left foot, up with the right foot, jump, and then it's like, oh, that's how I'll do an ollie for the rest of my life.
And that those skills will only keep building. There's no real ceiling to them. Like, you can keep challenging yourself with different weapons. There's so much to learn in this fucking game.
Yeah, yeah.
There is so fucking much in this game. And then when you finish it, you can do a new game plus thing. They've always had that in all of them. So like literally you wouldn't need to buy another game, and I reckon you could pretty much be happy playing this one forever.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you get good at it.
And people say it so flippantly and so, but it really is the thing.
Yes.
It is a bit of that thing where it's one of those cultural things now that is hard to get into, because, and everything has this, and you know, I'm like this about certain things. It's hard to get into because the way that a lot of people who are really into it talk about it is fucking annoying.
Sure.
It's like, oh, you're having, it's like, a thing where you go, oh, it's annoying that it doesn't do this, this, and this. And, you know, someone will go, oh, it sounds like you're playing a Souls game then. It's like, shut up.
Right.
But then
I can still want those things to be better. Like, you don't have to have your little experience ruined just by the menus being a bit more intuitive or whatever it is. But, I mean,
then
that's
once you're riding that skateboard at full speed, it feels like people coming in and being like, why isn't this a tricycle?
And on the flip side, I am like that about things that, you know what I mean, that I like that other people don't get.
Yeah.
That I'm sure is tedious, but it's just, it's got that kind of barrier that to entry that certain cultural things have, where it's like, even the way people try and cheer you on about it is like, you know, if you're not in that point yet, it just can't, something about it comes off as a little grating to me.
Right.
I think because
I've definitely felt that previously, for sure.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
100%.
And I think part of it is that people feel proud of how good they get at
absolutely, the games. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I probably did it to you on this podcast about Demon's Souls because you were having a tough time getting into it. And I felt like that had clicked for me
at
the
time,
even though I didn't get that much further into it.
I have to actively, consciously try to not do it.
Right.
But like, because you get, you feel so much accomplishment and achievement from what this game sets out for you,
and it's
that it's unlike any other game.
Exactly what I was going to say. It's not the same feeling as leveling up in Morrowind.
No, because that's going to happen inevitably anyway. But this one, you have to actually have done something.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to have, like you said, be paying full attention at all times. There was a boss I was doing last night, the night before something, and I noticed myself just thinking about something else in the middle, and then I died.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in, and it's so cathartic once the game gets you into that flow, because it really can block everything out and become so consuming with like a level of reward that is not just like, oh yes, I got this item now, hooray, but like a proper feeling of accomplishment that just literally you, I don't know of many, especially modern games, that give you that same feeling.
I think for me, like, I've paid for it, so I want to get my return on investment, and I'm going to keep trying this boss. But I was thinking about it last night, and I think for me personally, the issue is that undeniably challenging and rewarding and offer a sense of accomplishment and all those things that are important in a video game.
Yeah.
But for me personally, when I sit down, the reason I'm playing a game is because I want to have fun.
Yeah.
And I think in these games, for me, the fun is buried beneath all this other stuff that feels like last night, I like, you know, at the moment, we're all working on comedy festival shows. We're busy. We've got stuff going on. I've got this window to sit down and play this game.
I haven't been working on mine for about 20 hours.
I've got about 38 hours, 14 minutes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had this limited window where I could sit down and play a video game for half an hour. And it was me getting my ass absolutely owned by this boss. And I was like, this isn't what I want out of turning something on at the moment. I just don't. Like, I'm having days that are stressful and tough work, and I want to, like, I want that fucking Kirby game to be out now because that is what I want to do when I'm sitting down at the end of a day. I'm not trying to be like, woe is me, but I'm just, for the minute, I just do not have the mental capacity to commit to something like this.
If I, for some reason, had to sit down with Sting and that fucking guy was telling me about tantric sex and being like, yeah, you just set aside 48 hours and you sweat for fucking ages and it's so satisfying. But I'd be like, no, 11 minutes in a nap is absolutely fine.
Yeah, totally.
So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Also, I think...
But I also think I'm missing out on what Sting gets.
Yeah, absolutely. I
think there's a fundamental difference between us, Tommy, and the way we play games. Because I agree, that boss was not fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't even fun when I beat it. Like, it was a relief that I beat it, but I never want to have to fight it again.
But if I had have beaten it last night, I'd be here now going, 3 hours into the game, I'm ready to call it best game of all time.
But what I did was I went away. I was like, I know that this is literally, this is the story path. This is where the game has told me to go. I have to do this to progress. But I went the other direction. I went back through that little, bunch of soldiers in front of the gate in that little, bit of ruins. I went the other way. I went towards the bridge. You know, I was like, oh, these guys are like, oh, they have bigger swords. Oh, okay. And I just ran past them. Because the other
it's so funny describing walking around in this game like you're just the dumbest tourist
in
Portugal.
Sword guy. But then half the time...
They're selling food on the street?
It's not telling you who these people are.
No.
It's rarely telling you where you are. Like occasionally it will and you'll stumble across like a map or whatever.
Or what you're really doing?
Yes.
Like what you're... I know there's that little cutscene at the start, but that kind of went over my head. And I'm like, what am I...
And there's
what
people
am I doing?
That,
what's the point?
There's like a little sort of place you get to where people kind of give you a bit more direction.
And I said, I'm 20 hours in. Like level, what was it, 37 this morning, I think? I still vaguely only know that the story is you want to become the Lord of the Elden Ring.
And it's a, like...
And there is like detailed stuff about who the bosses are and why the Elden Ring was shattered and what the world is that you're in, but...
And you, of course, find out more as you go along the thing and whatever, but they've always been... The story isn't front and center for these games.
And,
well, you're just pushing forward just because.
Yes. Because you want to win.
Yeah.
And there's another boss around the corner that's going to be even harder that you'll feel even more satisfaction from.
Mm. Yeah. So I went off, basically, was what I was saying. Like, I went off. And I fucking went off at these cunts. But I got better.
Seriously, this is ridiculous.
I leveled up. I absolutely lost it. I got lost. You know, I went and did a bunch of other shit. Came back when I was a bunch more levels up and was like, oh, okay, my damage is visibly higher when I attack.
Okay, I need to do that. Yeah, I need to do that.
You will feel less, harmless.
Again, I committed myself just to that getting, because I've had pretty limited time this week.
Yeah.
Like, I was out of town for the first 4 days that this game was out. Mm. And I just felt that pressure to just try and get that little, for the purposes of talking about it on here,
right,
get through that little bit of the story path. Because, looking at my playtime versus the amount of, like, progress, even just geographically, that I've made in the game is absurd.
Well, I mean,
I've been playing Breath of the Wild for 3.5 hours and I'm barely past the first plateau.
Yeah.
I'm half the way through that opening plateau.
3 hours won't be much for this game, especially if it's your first one. And, like, you do need to listen to it the whole time. Like, it won't tell you, you're too weak for this boss, walk off. But, like, if you feel like you're too weak for the boss, walk off.
Yeah. Because
the great thing about this game that I want to talk about for a second is that it doesn't open world fucking perfectly.
I don't know if this is the forum to talk about video games. I completely agree. I mean, we talked about sort of the design of it at the start, but yes, the open world, I've got a big call to make at the end of this review. Maybe I'll save it, but I agree the open world
I'm going to call my mum and tell her I love Elden Ring.
I agree.
I'm going to call Tom Hanks and tell him I love that film he was in.
Elden Ring?
No, a big call.
Was he in a movie called A Big Call?
No.
Big. The word in the middle.
He was in a movie called Ah?
So, yeah, just everything is laid out in such a way that pretty much wherever you go, you're going to find something that piques your interest. You can get lost so easily, but in a positive way.
Yes.
Everything looks fantastic design-wise.
Oh, I love it. I love the buildings. Yeah. I love the castles. That extreme gothic look. The sort of like high spires, the spikes, the sort of... All, like, every church looks fucking scary.
It's so cool. Every enemy looks great and weird and cool. Technically, it's not like at the top of the pile in the world.
I'm playing it on a PS5 and I've got it in performance mode.
Yeah.
And it's hitching up a fair bit.
That's interesting because I'm doing the same thing and it's like not too bad.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of stutters. And I also just think, like I said before, when you spin the camera around and look at your character's face, it looks shit.
Well,
there's just
a
certain level of...
Mine looks okay. Do you see the one I put in the chat?
No.
I'll show you.
I did an automated one that I think there's... For me, there's like a certain level of... There's just a slight lack of, like, I want to say, like, elegance in the overall presentation of it. That bugs me a little bit.
It's not an attractive person, but I think it's a good character design.
Oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
Wait, is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's you. Okay. Yeah, that looks good.
You got to fuck around.
I just did an automated thing that just looked a bit cheap.
Some of them can do. And, like, you know, some of the NPCs look a little plastic doll kind of thing.
Human designs are probably the worst.
The enemy designs, the boss designs are incredible. Yeah.
You'll get a fucking awesome helmet that'll go over the top of it at some point. And
this is super nitpicky, but just the menus and all that overall presentation stuff is rank to me as a personal taste thing.
I agree. And I think it's the least intuitive part of the game.
It's
purposefully, obtuse game. It could be better.
I know that's
old.
A thing where people will say, oh, but that's kind of what they've always looked like. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
They've been around for a long time.
It basically is the same, but I'm not having a problem with it because I'm so adjusted to it.
There's
a lot of people who are still using fucking those, like, you know, those old accounting programs you sometimes see people using in offices.
My mum was, I'm not complaining, but was saying that about somewhere that she's
didn't you
worked.
Say that she hates her boss because of it? Wasn't that what you were saying?
She said she was working for a horrible boss. Yeah.
That's the big call you got to make is tell her that you got to fire.
But no, I think it's, it's a little old-fashioned. It could be a lot nicer. It could work a lot nicer as well. Yeah.
And I think, technically it's like...
Technically, it fucking sucks on the PC. That was the other thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's been really bad. And they've said they're aware and they're going to patch it and all the normal shit that people say when they
fucking
put out a bad
good. Because it is like fighting, the first enemy that I was talking about that was impossible, going back and beating it. That fight was taking place at about 5 frames per second. Like, right. It was really hard to make heads or tails of what was going on, which can help you when you're fighting a boss because you can really judge their attacks a bit better.
You see where the tail is.
Yeah.
Common weak spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Chop off the tail.
But it was bad.
Right.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It isn't like firing on all cylinders like they haven't for a while from this studio on those fronts. But design-wise, they're at the top of their game still.
Yeah.
Yeah, in-game,
yeah, the bosses especially look, the ones that I've seen so far, the bigger enemies look great.
Yes.
100%. And like, yeah, the inventiveness and variety of them keeps up.
Yeah.
The thing. And so
I will say it's kind of bitterly ironic that you were trying to get past that first boss, you know, to be like, okay, now I'm in the game and I'll start to, you know, see more of the story, because I feel like that boss is the hardest boss that I've fought. And I haven't fought a heap of the main story ones, but I've explored like the entire map.
There are some hard ones that keep coming, but that one is like a real spike in terms of out of any of the games that they've made.
Right,
too.
Right.
And like lots of people have acknowledged that. It is a really, it has to be a deliberate decision to make you go and explore, like we said earlier.
I think so, but yeah, like the very next boss, and yeah, I think I've only got up to the next story boss, the third boss. But I played a heap of the optional ones, thinking that they were like, there's one right at the south.
Yep.
South of the car, like literally, I think the most southern point.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And I was like, fuck, this was hard, but it took me 3 goes.
Right.
As opposed to 50 with Margaret.
Well, and just when you figure out what you need to be doing, the rhythms of how to play with each weapon and each type of character, you get it from then on.
And it's still not like easy.
No.
You know, it still took me a lot of tries to beat the second boss, but it didn't seem impossible. You know, it was more like I would get it down to half health and be like, oh, it just got me. How do I get this, you know, the rest of the way?
And one thing with this one that is different from all of the previous games is that you're not doing a boss run anymore to get to it and like having to fight through a level to get to the boss.
Yes.
There's little Stakes of Marika, they're called, that like just put you back outside usually the boss door.
Not Sites of Grace, which have all these functions you can do at them.
Yeah,
but just there's
other checkpoints
just a checkpoint,
that are just purely you can choose to, yeah.
Which is a new thing. Like, they have done some stuff like that to just make it a little less frustrating for the most part.
And yeah, this is kind of the other thing I find a little weird about it, to go back to, again, that classic debate. Sorry to keep bringing it up, but it already has a lot of things in it where, you know, you can play it in a bunch of different ways. And it already has these few concessions that it will give you. Mm. So you can choose to be an astronomer, which means that you have long range magic attack.
Oh, and then once you're out in the world as well, you can redo all your stats to be anything you want. Like you can start from any point, but you can play the game however you want at any point, basically.
Yeah. Mm. But when I was eating shit in Demon Souls, I remember reading a thing that was like, hey, this is the best thing to pick as a beginner. You got your long-range magic. It's pretty powerful. And that completely changed how I was playing that game. Like, it made it so much more accessible for me. And I was very thankful that that was an option that existed. So this has the same thing. So that's the class that I went for straight away, knowing that. And then you get like a little keepsake that you get to pick at the start of the game. And one of them is a thing that gives you more HP as a default.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, when you're going into a boss, you can summon a little dude to come and help you out.
Yep.
You can summon someone to come and help you with that fight. And so it's not like it's just this like one. When you talk about how it's like it expects you to play it in a certain way, it does, but it's not this like, it's not that rigid. It already still has these little concessions in there. And so I think that's where people's frustrations about the difficulty and not being able to like formally change that a bit more, I think for me it comes from, it's like, well, it is already doing a bit. It is already giving you a bit. Why can't it just give you that little bit more? Because if it was a game that was like, you have one character that you can be and that's it, then you'd be like, all right, well, this is just the package. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I'm finding annoying is like, why can't I have a thing to just give me certainly more magic as a resource?
Mm. Well, I think two reasons. One is like, because then you can say the same thing the other way around where it's like, well, they have put that stuff in there.
Of
like,
course.
It's just that the base difficulty is not easy, But yeah, you can make it a bit easier on you if, yeah, you go long range magic. Or what I did was started with the hero character, which has, I think that's what it is, an axe and a shield. But the axe is a bit of a slower swing than swords, and I just wasn't vibing with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, at this point, I still was really not good at it. And so I started again as a bandit, and you start off... the other thing with classes is you start off with certain equipment that at the start may not be possible to buy for hours and hours. So, yeah. But you, yeah, had a little bow, had a little dagger, I think, or even a sword, or I might have just got a sword very quickly off one of the soldiers. And that completely changed it again. Yeah, it was like, oh, well, I'll pick off a few guys or lower their health with the bow, and it makes it easier.
So that's one of the reasons, is that they do have that stuff to make things a bit easier for you in there. One of those things being that you can summon other players into your world, and then that is probably the second reason for why they don't have like an easy mode or whatever in there, because it's always online.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So you're in a multi... it's a single player game, but you are in a multiplayer sort of lobby or whatever,
right,
the whole time, where you're reading messages from other players all over the ground. You're seeing them kind of run around as ghosts, and you can summon them at any point. So they sort of, because of that design, which is like such a cool part of these games, they kind of have to keep it all level.
Uniform, like, yeah.
Unless there was some offline mode that was just...
Well,
like,
I am playing it
nuts.
Offline. Then there's no messages. I'm fully offline, so there's no messages from other players. When I summon, like, at the... I guess we'll keep the spoilers stuff to maybe the first boss, right? Like,
yeah, I think that's fine.
You, instead of summoning a multiplayer, like another person, you just summon an AI character.
And they've had them in all of the games so far, so I don't think that's a spoiler, because yeah, you can do that throughout.
Apparently it bumps up the health of the enemy.
I'm not sure if it does in this one. It always has.
Right. But I guess I read that it was, but maybe someone was just assuming. Yeah.
Can you summon a human player at that first boss?
Yes.
The thing with that,
I think I'm only ever getting the same AI person.
Oh, right. Or it depends how... if you're connected to the server.
I am, yeah.
Need to use a little item to make the summon signs show up. It's called something like a fell calling finger remedy.
Yeah.
And okay. so you have to take one of them, and then you'll see things show up near
so
one of those.
You are probably just summoning that sorcerer, But that's another thing with it. Yeah, you have to find that person in that dungeon level before they'll... Like, it's so complex.
Everything has to be done, like, in-world, and it won't really tell you, but, like, it really does add to the satisfaction. I just want to, like... because I've played all of these games, and I'm a huge fan of them, and a lot of people have said this, and all the reviews have said this. This is one of the best fucking games that I've ever played for me.
Right.
Like, I am so into it. They've completely got this type of game so tightly wound to, like, exactly... like, they've done so many iterations of it now.
Right.
They really know how to make this sort of thing, how to surprise you again and again with it, how to gently teach you these things if you kind of know how to look for them, how to make the every new bit that you're getting to have something new about it that you're encouraged to explore more and get to the next bit. I love every fucking aspect of what they've made here. It's so good.
I would say don't be afraid to look things up.
No, it's kind of part of it.
For the first, I don't know how long, 7 hours?
For the whole time, honestly, because there's 100,000 guides on there that are written to only show you the one thing. So if it makes it more fun for you, just do it.
What I did was that. I basically looked up how to beat the first boss.
Right.
And also how to approach the game up until that point.
Yep.
Like pretty much every aspect of it. There are things that do show up as like very quick tooltip, or, you know, very quick messages. So, like, I was under the impression that I had not been taught how to use items, how to equip arrows to use a bow and arrow.
Okay, right.
You know, there are a lot of things that do actually come up, but very briefly and never again.
I had a thing that I could summon, but I didn't have the little tool that you use to summon. So I kept trying to bring up the little jellyfish thing.
You need the bell.
And he'd just like look in his pocket and go, I don't know. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
That was happening with the bow. I'd like start a new character because I wanted to use ranged. And I was like, why does he keep reaching for his pocket? He's holding the bow. And it's like, you got to click equip on the arrows.
Yeah.
Which like other games would just do automatically or, you know, it just wouldn't be. It'd be an intuitive thing. But some stuff with this game you do have to know already or look up.
There's nothing
wrong with that.
Because
I beat that first boss, I was, rather than looking up stuff before I got to it, I was playing through an area, beating a boss, and then looking up afterwards and being like, oh, that's who that boss is. Oh, that's how other people did it.
Right.
Like, you do get to a point where you're like, I'm fine to take the game on.
Yeah.
And then I'm interested in the lore and stuff.
And knowing that earlier stuff, like just having someone almost help you through, whether it be an internet article or a person, those early sort of bits, once you see the logic the game is using, you can then apply that to the rest of it.
Because definitely.
It's not like just a fucking idiot of a game that's like flopping around. It's like, yeah, I don't know, this is arbitrary for this. Like, it knows why it's doing its stuff. Like the arrows, you equip a specific arrow because there's 100 different types. There's a few different types of arrows.
Yes.
So it needs to let you make the choice about that. And it usually is about that.
Yeah.
Read all the descriptions of every item.
Yeah.
All of that sort of thing. Like,
because in other games, if you go and look up what to do, it's in a certain type of game, it's just going to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And then you do feel a bit of guilt because it's like, oh, I probably could have worked out that solution if I just. But in this, it's like, yeah, it can tell you. It can tell you fucking everything about how to do it. That's like, that's 3% of the challenge.
Yes.
Right. That. You still, the execution is the hard part. Definitely. It's not knowing what to do.
Yeah. That first boss is just going to say, oh, try to dodge all its attacks then hit it while it's not attacking you.
Learning that you have to go and like, I had to go to a little graveyard or something to get the bell. It's like, I don't feel guilty about looking this up because I just, there was. It's I have always gotten the impression with these games that that's a big part of it is like the communal kind of aspect of it.
And that is honestly playing the game on easy mode and there's nothing wrong with
it. Right.
Yeah. Like that is the built-in easy mode, is that everything has an answer.
Right.
And you can access that answer if you want.
Yeah.
So like, yes, it doesn't have a formalized one, but you can get just as much of a holding of the hand online.
Right.
You know, which then, well, why not put it in the game or whatever, but...
That's the thing. And I think it, to an extent, it does for like a lot of that stuff. Like, there was a message at some point, I think, that told you how to get the spirit calling bell. And there was, maybe not, maybe some of them are random encounters that happen after you've played the game enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, as frustrating as it was to me, like, to be clear, I thought this was a terrible game for the first 3 or so hours I was playing it. Really disagreed with everything I've said on this podcast.
Right.
I think the info is in there, but it could be a little more intuitive. Could be a little more obvious to be like, when you try to fire an arrow from your bow and you reach around, you could have the character be like, guess I didn't. You know, what,
you could, something like but that. Then from the other point of view, as the being able to turn that on in this game, I wish I could turn it off in other games.
Yes.
And you can't.
Yes.
Aloy was saying way too much shit in Horizon Forbidden. We're giving away where the answers to puzzles were.
Yeah.
And like, sure, put that in there. But then if I can't turn it off in other games, that's why this one is such a fucking great thing to be in, because it has that level of, I guess immersion is the word that I'm looking for from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's asking as much of me as I can give, which very few other games do, especially as like competently and creatively as this one does.
It reminds me of playing RPGs in the late 90s, you know?
Like
you just, unless you bought a guide or got a, you know, an issue of a magazine that had a little thing on the front or whatever, you could get stuck in a game and just not be able to proceed through it. And it wouldn't be because the combat was hard. It would be because you didn't talk to some guy 3 times instead of twice.
And I think with this game in particular, you've got to trust that the answer is there.
Mm.
Like, you've got to trust that there is something you can do. There is somewhere you can go so that it doesn't become frustrating because you're banging a head against a brick wall.
Mm.
And then later on realizing there's a fucking gate 2 meters to the right. You know what I mean?
Like,
that would be the dumbest way to get through a brick wall. But so like it is all in there. But then at the same time, even if when you find that stuff, it doesn't work for you, like I get why people want to be just like, okay, that's fine. It's not for you. It's Ulysses or whatever, where it's like, I don't want to fucking read a book that's one sentence for a third of it.
Right.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
That's a dumb way to write a book. Just put in full stops.
Yeah.
But then some professors are like, no, I like not having the full stops, and I think my students are attracted to me. So like,
you know. I'm not a professor. I do like Ulysses though, and I do like this game. I think I completely came around on it within the space of like so 5 hours. Yeah.
I'm pleased to see that. But the same thing happens, I think, with almost everyone who gets into the Souls games at some point.
Right.
I had the same experience with Demon's Souls. Got to Tower Knight, went, fuck this. Didn't go back for ages, and then I don't remember which one it was, but played another one and went, oh
yeah,
right. I'm the problem.
But yeah, this yeah, I think you said this was like the best one they've made, surely.
Yeah.
Up there for best open world games, probably. I think this is like, yeah, this is Breath of the Wild but better, in my opinion. Like, honestly, it's aesthetically, it's more my taste.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bigger, which is cool, because once I started exploring it, I was like, oh, I hope that I'd never run out of places to find, you know, like, I like the combat more because it's a little bit more to it and it's more customizable and there's magic and shit and all that's, you know, really fun. I don't know. Yeah. I think this is like a 10 out of 10 for me.
Same.
This is, yeah.
It's one of my favorite games I've ever played. I'm 40 hours in, and the thing, you know, the little activity cards you get on PS5 that say, I'm apparently 50% of the way through the main story.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
So it's fucking huge as shit.
Yeah.
But like, I just, in terms of this type of game, like, I think it's an interesting conversation to have as well. That is a lot of the conversation we've been having is like, well, what games are for who and whatever.
Right, sure. Right.
But
I mean, when I say like I wish it, when I say I wish it was different, sorry, it's purely because it's like, I like what I've seen so far. And I just know that I'm going to come up against a point where it's like, I'm out. I don't have time for this. Mm. I don't have the time or the ability to commit to trying this thing again and again and again and again and again. I'm happy to be challenged. But like I said, it's like if I'm having too many sessions in a row where I'm not unwinding, I'm more tense than when I sat down. And so, when I say like, I wish it was a bit different, it's like, I want to see more of it. I want to see more of what's in there. And I'm probably... Maybe I will hit that skill point that you're talking about, Ben, where it becomes a lot easier, but I don't trust myself. But I do, to be clear, I love everything that I've seen about it, and I think it's great, but I just wish that, I hope I'm able to see more of it, but I just don't know.
I know. I honestly, that like, I feel a similar way about like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, where like, I wish I could have been bothered to do more of it, but it was so... routine and straightforward.
Right.
It was so laid out for me that I lost interest.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is like the opposite of that, you know?
Yeah. And like, you can, this is something that I think maybe even helped me make the just a mental adjustment, was like, I just went around the first castle.
Right.
I just like walked around, like literally went around it and was like, huh, I guess I can just keep exploring if I want. And so that's what I did. And I just, that helped me just sort of be like, oh yeah, I can just do anything.
Yeah.
Go south instead of north.
Okay. Yeah. See, because at the moment I don't feel like I can go anywhere, because I'm like, well, what's the point? There's just going to be another thing that's going to destroy me.
Absolutely.
In like 5 steps.
But that is the point.
Yeah.
Is that right, like at some point you'll click and overcome that?
Exactly. Yeah. I felt the 100% the same way. Of like, I'm sneaking everywhere. I'm peering around every corner, and now I'm riding around on my horse, which we haven't mentioned.
No.
Is maybe the best thing about it.
It's one of the best vehicles in a game that has ever been there. You can just jump onto it so quickly. It's really versatile. It can double jump. Its name is Torrent, and it's a horse. And there's also a donkey you can get called Emule.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good piracy joke there.
Yes.
Thank you. But like, it's a great feeling horse.
That also changed it. It made me feel much more free to explore. It's like, yeah, not only can I run away on foot, I can gallop away.
Yeah.
And after a while, people stop chasing
someone else's feet.
Yeah. Mm. But I'd love the horse. I'd love that. Yeah, you summon it and you like, it rises from beneath you and you're just already galloping around. Like, it's so good.
It's cool.
Yeah, it changes the combat. There are some bosses where you can ride on the horse, and there are some that you can't. And I hate those because I feel so much slower.
Yeah.
But...
The benefit of not being on the horse is you can dodge through stuff, though. Yes. And like, you can get hit a lot more easily on the horse by projectile stuff, at least.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They're like, I'm so glad that you're into it. And I can't wait for you to get further in and like see all of this game has, because like it really has fucking, this feels like, I mean, I can't imagine how they go further with this type of game.
That's what all the, I mean, that's why the scores are so good, right? Because they're being, out of necessity, they're being reviewed by people who already love this style of game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that you keep reading, is this is the perfect culmination of what they've been doing for however many
for
years.
For 13 years or something now, I think, since Demon's Souls came out.
Like, I do think that apart from, even setting aside the like technical problems, like the actual bugs, I think graphically it could look better.
Yep. Yeah,
like my PC is top of the line, you know, like it should be running perfectly and it should be looking beautiful. It doesn't look as good as Horizon Forbidden West.
It's a PS4 like, game that I'm playing on a PS5 and I'm getting frame rate stuff come up.
It does even the level of detail of like textures and lighting and stuff is not even on par with Horizon, which is still a cross-console game.
Yeah.
So,
but in terms of the design, they've just thrown everything they've learned into this and made it like a lot larger than I think I was even expecting, even though they said it was going to be big.
It's fucking massive, yeah.
And just, it's all so engaging for me.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many sites of grace everywhere as well. That feels like a huge sort of allowance for new players, because it is like...
That's very true. That's what I was loving doing, was just clearing out these little areas and then just being like, I'm going to make it to that next bit and then I've probably got enough runes now to level myself up, and then I hit that bit and then I'm safe.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about doing that bit ever again if I don't want.
Well, and that's... Yeah.
That's what I just need to do more. Fucking around and just pretend there aren't bosses. The just clear the entire map, but not have gone anywhere near a boss at any point.
I think I basically tried to do that at one stage. Yeah,
and I think once it clicks with you a bit more, once you like figure out the unusual rhythm of like the combat and stuff, it becomes far less of a chore to do it.
Because
it does feel like, and I remember you saying this with Demon's Souls, Ben, that it feels like it's just not working with you. Like the animations take too long and all that stuff, and that is like how they go. But once you sync up with it, you realize how in control of it you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once you're lined up with it, it becomes the only way you want a game to control.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Like, that transition from feeling scared to walk around a corner to being like, I'll ride through the front gate of that castle knowing that it'll be full of enemies and I'll just keep going past them, or I'll stop and I'll kill that giant. Like, I'm farming runes from just giants now because, you know, there is this weird little pivot point where you're like, oh, now I'm in control.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll give you that same pivot point multiple times throughout as well.
Right.
Where you'll go somewhere new and be like, what the fuck? These guys are really strong.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, wait a minute. I'm the fucking motherfucker here.
I'm the Elden Ring.
I'm the Elden Ring, man. So, I don't know. I couldn't, like, be happier with this game. They've pulled off everything they said they were going to, which is, I think, the cool thing where, like, whether or not the game is specifically for you, it is exactly what they said it would be.
Yeah. Right.
Which, you know, that often isn't the case.
Yeah.
And they've delivered on everything I'd want from, like, what feels like a summation of everything they've done with these Souls games.
Actually, the other thing that they could do next is take this principle and apply it to like a Bloodborne aesthetic or a Sekiro. Or
I would imagine that would be their next thing is to go another.
Probably what they
do. Or DLC
right?
for this. It's done very well. So maybe,
and they do a lot of DLC stuff usually.
Usually,
they?
They didn't for Sekiro for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's true.
But normally there's
the Souls games at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bloodborne, they all get like a pretty significant DLC usually.
Right.
So that'd be great to see another island somewhere that you can go to or whatever.
I'm excited to go back and play every previous From Software game.
Oh man, you've got a hell of a fucking thing. I did that, like, you know, fingers crossed for more lockdowns one day, because like it was so good during that. But yeah, they're fucking great. And it's such a way of showing everyone, like, all of these games are iterative and they're all pretty similar to one another, but like they keep finding new stuff to do that even at hour 400 or whatever of playing Souls games that I'm at, I'm still so into it, and it feels like it's the type of game that could keep on giving and doesn't get stale. And so, like, Elden Ring 10 out of 10. And as an example of the opposite end of the spectrum, the one other little bit of news this week is that new Pokemon game.
Oh, yeah. Do we have time or do we just save this for next week?
Maybe we just save it for next week.
Let's just talk about it next week. Okay. We've done heaps here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out in fucking 7 weeks or whatever.
Yeah,
so, like,
it feels pointless to talk about it after such a long chat about Elden.
Fair enough. Elden Ring is fucking good. If you ever liked a Souls game and for whatever reason you're on the fence, like, it's the best probably one they've made.
And if you've never gotten into one, maybe this is the one that finally clicks it in for you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I saw a lot of people say, oh, I heard that this was the most accessible one and I'm fucking, you know, I'm dying over and over again. I mean, I am the proof of that. Like, I really do think after you sort of figure it out, and I really think like all of those checkpoints, fast traveling everywhere, having the horse, having certain builds that, yeah, can make it a bit easier. I do think there's a way to approach this game with it being not easy, but much easier than the previous one.
Or at least just challenging rather than confusing.
Yeah.
And definitely, I agree. Look stuff up. Why not? Yeah. If you're struggling, ask for help.
I do. I definitely
1-3-1-1-4
I definitely agree that it has felt like a cheat in other games, and I was worried about it feeling like a cheat in this game, but that's why I stopped at a certain point. I was like, okay, now I feel comfortable.
Yeah, like I learned from Demon's Souls, which is like I looked up beginner tips and it was like, yeah, if you've not played one of these before, go easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Be one of the magic guys. And I was like, all right, well, it doesn't say that to you in the menu. It doesn't go, here's our version of what a kind of easier sort of thing is. It's like, all right, I'll restart the game as that.
Right. But yeah, all of those articles that are saying like stuff you need to know, Read them all, all those ones.
Yeah.
This might be like an all-timer for me.
It 100% is for me, so
this, I think, is like bordering on, like, could be a top five game. And I'm only, I've explored, I think, about 3/4 of the map.
Yeah.
But I'm only, like a little way through the story and already, I fucking love it.
It's the best version of, like, two different revolutionary games in like Dark Souls and Breath of the Wild, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the two biggest games of that decade.
I'm calling it Death of the Wild.
Holy fucking shit, man. Anyway, this is great.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us for another week, everyone. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our Patreon where you can get a bonus episode every week.
Yes.
The Bandcamp where we do premium episodes. The YouTube channel where we have two videos going up every week.
Yeah, we're nearly finished Detroit Become Human.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun romp through the mind of David Cage.
Yep. The twisted mind of David Cage.
Yes.
And check out Hollywood Phonies, our sister podcast, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Where we find the fake movies that are in the background of real movies and we riff out the plots to them. That's going to do it for us.
Comedy festival as well, I guess. Did you say that?
Let's put a bumper at the front.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've already heard about it.
Yep. We're off to record the bumper that you've heard about an hour ago. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
get out of my house so I can play more Elden Ring.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.